There once was a man named Abu Sabr who lived along the Barbary coast. Mara loved the way one-eyed moose hitched the word Barbary from her mouth, like something spiny covered in honey. Mara wasn't sure what a Barbary coast was. Someplace far away, she guessed. She flinched at the scream that punched down to the dense metal around them. Breathed in air. Breathed out. Glanced at the air meter, inching its way through yellow toward the goram red. One-eyed Moo hardly did more than take a short breath to scream. She looked around the vault, the town folk all huddled together. Said in that firm, soft way of hers, "He was a wealthy man, with many fields full of grain, orchards full of fruit. He had herds of fine, brindled cattle that always threw healthy calves. She got Lefty Glenn's attention with that. It'd been a hard winter, and he lost a dozen or so calves to a flash flood. Probably lost the herd now. He rubbed the leg that he twisted up when he was a boy jumping over a combine on a bet. Seemed to be thinking about cows, not reavers coming down to the vault door and ripping, raping, and eating every last goram one of them." One-eyed Moo had a way of telling a story like that. She smiled with her lips and eyes and said, "But he was generosity in itself. No man came to his door looking for charity, but that he didn't leave with twice as much as he'd asked for." One-eyed Moo held up her hand, and then the other. She bit some imaginary piece of fruit, and it seemed juicy, whatever it was. He would always say, "Is not everything I have from Allah? How can I fail to share with another man what has been so graciously given to me?" Something loud boomed high above. Something heavy dropped. Nothing she could do about it. Mara realized that she stopped noodling with her needles, went back into making the lumpy thing that would never make a sweater. Or somewhere above the steel doors, reavers hunted for their meat. She shouldn't think about that. Think about Abu Sabr with all his fields on the barbed honey coast. One-eyed Moo smiled at Huang Mei, who just lost her two front teeth. Huang Mei's eyes were dinner plate wide. "Now the sultan in that land was an occasionally good man, but as he complained to his boss lord, every time I give a poor man something, he tells me Abu Sabr gave him twice as much the day before. I should have Abu Sabr's head chopped off. That would be a generosity, and he'd cross his arms like a little boy who'd been kept from a sweet." One-eyed Moo crossed her arms and scrunched her weathered face. Huang Mei giggled, then stopped, as if she realized what she'd done. Her mother hugged her close and rocked her in her arms. Mara met her eyes briefly, but then looked away. It wasn't good to look too long into anyone's eyes right now. She looked at One-Eyed Moo's quick, dark eye. "But the boss lord said, what we should do is go to Abu Sabr and tell him that the kingdom doesn't have any money, and then ask him for an amount that I happen to know equals all he has. It's easy to be generous when you have everything, but I think we will find that he is not so old-fired pious when we ask him for everything he has." So that's what they did. One-Eyed Moo wrinkled her nose at little Baobei, gnawing on a piece of cloth to keep her quiet. But when the boss lord went to Abu Sabr, why, he spread his hands wide and said, "All that I have is yours." She spread her hands wide. "For is not every man my brother? And does not Allah command that I be generous with his gift? Praise be to Allah, for the sun still rises." She pointed up. And Abu Sabr pointed at the sky. Sure enough, there was the sun, hanging in the sky, like it did every day. Fong, who was a lapsed Buddhist from up valley, and had only been in town to buy nails, said, "Seems a bit soft in the head, this Abu Sabr." Ling Shu shushed him with a quick, "Shut up, you idiot." But Fong whispered again, "Goram it if I will shut up." But he trailed off the sound of another scream. There was a grinding sound of metal scraping against metal. One-Eyed Moo nodded to herself, closed her one eye, patch over the other. "So nothing much to see there." Opened it and said, "So generous Abu Sabr gave the sultan all his money and all his fields full of grain and all his orchards full of fruit. But the door to Abu Sabr's house remained open to anyone who was looking for help, as it had been when he was a rich man." One-Eyed Moo nodded decisively at Fong as if that decided the matter. Maybe it did. Fong shut his mouth.
The Sultan summoned his boss lord and said, "Yidget, you've only made things worse. Now everyone's praising Abu Sabr's praises, and I may as well be wealthier, but I look like a goddamn fool. I should have just chopped his head off." "Well, what you gonna do about it?"
She put her hands on her hips and tapped her fingers for a moment as if to ask the people huddled near what they would do about it. But she didn't wait for them to say it. The boss lord replied, "Abu Sabr still has a beautiful house. It's easy to be generous when you have a place to live. We should go to Abu Sabr and say that his home is badly needed for the poor. Surely he will refuse. He won't look so all-fired pious after that." So that's what they did. Hong Mei squirmed in her mother's arms. "Are they going to steal Abu Sabr's house?" "Shh," said her mother. "Just listen." Mara listened. It didn't seem like she was hearing much from above. Of course, the walls were thick. Probably just thick walls. One-eyed Mu leaned down toward Hong Mei. But when the Lord Boss went to Abu Sabr, Abu Sabr spread his hands wide and said, "All that I have is yours. I've been fortunate to shelter here for a time, but the Sultan is wise to see that it is better that my home shelter many than just one man. Praise be to Allah, for the sun still rises." And then he pointed up at that sky. She pointed up, and everyone's eyes followed her fingers to the bare bulb lights that buzzed on the ceiling. Sure enough, there was a sun hanging in the sky like it did every day.
"I don't hear anything," whispered Brown Hung Liang to her best friend, Red-Haired Liang.
Although by Mara's count, her red hair was mostly henna. Red-Haired Liang nodded, but didn't say anything.
"Afraid to say it," Mara guessed.
One-Eyed Mu looked down from the ceiling, nodded to herself, and continued, "So Abu Sabr went to live in a tent, but just as the doors to his house had always been open, so no man who came to the tent of Abu Sabr asking for help was ever turned away."
Wang Mei whispered to her mother, "I don't want Abu Sabr to lose his house."
"Shh," said her mother. Her eyes were on the white, quiet ceiling. One-Eyed Mu grinned. "The Sultan summoned his boss lord and said, 'Yidget, you've only made things worse. Now Abu Sabr lives in a tent, looks like one of the blessed, and I look like a damn fool. What you gonna do about it?'" And then the boss lord said, "He still has his life. We could chop off his head."
Hong Mei gasped.
One-Eyed Mu shook her head a little and said, "The Sultan said, 'Well, maybe I should just chop your head off, you idiot. You want everyone to rise up against me for killing a holy man?'"
"No. What we're going to do is what I should have done in the first place. We'll have him kidnapped and cast ashore in some kingdom far away."
Hong Mei whispered to her mother.
"Does that mean the Sultan threw Abu Sabr out of the core?"
"Shh," whispered her mother, rocking Hong Mei back and forth. But her eyes were all for the white, quiet ceiling. The only sound it gave was the steady buzz of the light.
So Abu Sabr found himself on the shores of a beach far from his home. He said, "Praise be to the wise Sultan."
She nodded to those unexpected words.
"Yeah, because the Sultan saw that I was humiliated in my old land, having fallen so far. Now I can begin again in a new place where I am not known. Praise be to Allah, for the sun still rises." And he pointed up to the sky where the sun shone like it always did.
But One-Eyed Mu did not point. She kept her hands in her lap, kneading each other like so much dough.
Last Fong said, "Now I know Abu Sabr's a goram fool." This time, Leng Shu didn't shush him. The Ming brothers were whispering by the shelves about it being a trick. The weavers were just waiting.
Mara glanced at the air meter crawling its way to the yellow and into the goram red. One-Eyed Mu kept going like someone walking through sand. "Abu Sabr went to the nearest city where he found work as a bricklayer." She leaned back.
"Now, while Abu Sabr had been a very successful farmer, he was a terrible bricklayer."
She shook her head in sorrow as she said that.
"He never could quite put down enough mortar or too much. His bricks were always crooked."
She gestured the amount of crooked with both hands.
"And the man he worked for often swore at him and hit him on the head. But although his back ached with the long hours, he never complained."
She glanced up at the ceiling. They all followed her narrow gaze.
Now, the sultan of that land was a terrible tyrant, and he oppressed the people for everything they had to give. One-Eyed Moo patted her pockets. Everyone was listening now, but not for her words. Mara kept noodling with her needles. The soft click of knitting and the buzz of the light in One-Eyed Moo's firm, soft voice. That meant he was very afraid of his people. So one day, that sultan decided to build a great wall around his palace. He summoned every bricklayer in the land for the project. One-Eyed Moo winked her eye at Huang Mei. Huang Mei giggled. So Abu Sabra found himself looking down on a beautiful house, not all that different from the home where he once lived. He told the other bricklayers that all that we have is from Allah. Allah lifts up the man who is low to the height. One-Eyed Moo lifted her hand up, palm up, then she turned it. But he can also bring down a high man to the depths. She slapped her thigh with her palm. One of the Ming brothers whispered, "We're almost out of air." Ling Xu turned and said with fierce, bitten words, "Are you volunteering to be the one who goes up and looks?" One-Eyed Moo licked her lips. "So where was I? Oh, yeah. Sultan liked to spy on his workers. Well, he heard this and was furious. You see, he was nothing more than a thief who'd stolen the throne from his older brother and thrown him into a deep prison. He decided that if Abu Sabra wanted to lift his brother up so much, he could just join him." Mara stopped knitting. She put her hands on the cement floor as if to pull the vibrations from them. She felt nothing. It felt like the ceiling and walls were closing in. Knew it was because there wasn't much air left. Oddly, she wondered what Abu Sabra looked like. She imagined that he had soft eyes like the earth after a rain. She closed her eyes and listened to One-Eyed Moo's voice. So Abu Sabra found himself in a deep pit far from the sun. The old sultan told him that he'd been there for many years and that there was no hope. But Abu Sabra smiled in the dark and said, "In this dark place, I cannot know if the sun still rises, but I do know, praise be to Allah, that we are still alive." He tried to raise the old sultan's spirits. However, the old sultan wasn't well, and he soon died. Mara didn't want to die in the earth. She didn't want to open the door, either. The reavers were probably waiting for them to skedaddle out, waiting to rip the meat from their bones. She scraped the cement with her fingers and kept her eyes squeezed shut. One-Eyed Moo continued, "Abu Sabra dug a grave with his dinner plate, and he buried the old sultan. He prayed over the spot, but he didn't tell the guards that the old sultan had died, because the food that they sent down for two men was barely enough to keep a cat alive." Mara wondered if that made the people in this here vault like that cat in that experiment, where you don't open the box, or if that made the outside world the box. Couldn't know if there was a cat to kill you until you opened it. She could hear One-Eyed Moo stand up. She could hear Huang Mei skirm in her mother's arms. Now, up in the palace, the mother of the old sultan and the tyrant didn't know that her son was dead. She often begged her younger son to allow his older brother to a nicer prison. She chuckled at some thought. A place in the light where he could be fed and clothed as a prince should be, but he always refused. Mara opened her eyes. Everything seemed strangely bright and had a slight glow. She glanced at the air meter. It was almost in the red. One-Eyed Moo picked her way over to the door and seemed to say with her one eye, "Now, shall I open the door now?" But no one would look up at her. They stared at the floor, so she kept talking. Finally, she decided it would be better for her older son to be dead than to be trapped in a dark prison below the earth. So on her son's birthday, she sent away all her women, and she roasted a chicken with her own hands. She held out her hands. She prepared it with all her eldest son's favorite spices, mixed with a deadly poison. She clapped her hands together. Huang Mei said, "Oh, no." Her mother didn't shush her, just held on to her, squirming in her lap. One-Eyed Moo put her hand on the door frame. Then she sent a servant with the chicken to the place where her son was kept. She held out her hands full of an imaginary tray. The servant jumped when she heard the sultan call out, "What do you have there?" She slid her hand down the door frame. The servant spoke very carefully because she was afraid. "I am taking a chicken that your mother cooked with her own hands for your brother."
Her voice was getting softer, but no one called out, "Open the door." She kept going. The Sultan said, "Who said that my brother could have chicken?" He grabbed the platter away from the woman. He was about to throw it to the ground when he breathed in and smelled the meat. She breathed in a soft, shallow breath. Not enough air for deep, but Mara could almost smell the chicken. He put the platter down and gobbled it up. She smacked her lips. He dropped dead before he finished chewing his final bite. But still, no one called out for her to open the door. Huang Mei didn't giggle. She'd fallen asleep, just asleep. Her chest made faint movements. One-eyed Mu whispered, "It was a very deadly poison." She let go of the door frame and sat back down. The servant went to the Sultan's mother, who said, "We should bring my son, the Sultan, out of his prison." So the guards called down into the prison, "Come up." She gave a faint smile. Abu Sabr climbed up the ladder and back into the sunlight. He smiled at the gathered crowd and said, "Praise be to Allah, for the sun still rises." She made some half gesture that didn't quite make it up to the ceiling. Mara stood up. She felt dizzy. The Goram read. People cheered their new sultan. No one remembered what the old one looked like. Mother knew. She looked down into the pit where her son had been and said only, "I should have sent you a chicken years ago." Then she embraced Abu Sabr as her son. Mara picked her way to the people lying on the floor. Faint, shallow breaths. No one said stop. No one said open the door. No one said anything. Just one-eyed Mu, her voice getting softer with every last breath. So Abu Sabr found himself a sultan, and while he'd been a terrible bricklayer, he was an excellent sultan. The crops in his fields overflowed with grain and fruit, and he saw to it that no one went hungry, saying only, "Are we not all the children of Allah?" One-eyed Mu gave this sad, sad smile. Mara reached the door and put her hand on the lock. She should spin it. They were all going to die anyway. Of course, here they'd die in their sleep, not ripped apart by reavers. The sultan of his old kingdom found out that the new sultan of the kingdom across the sea looked a good deal like Abu Sabr. He arranged for all of Abu Sabr's money to be returned to him, because the sultan really was a good man, and he hadn't wanted Abu Sabr's money anyway. He said, "Praise be to Allah that Abu Sabr is alive and has found a kingdom where he can practice all his pious and generous ways." And then under his breath he said, "Praise also to Allah that he no longer practices them in mine." Mara spun the box and opened her eyes as wide as she could and opened the door. Dusty air crept into the hot, sour space. She hadn't realized how hot it was until something cool came in. She stood there, door cracked as if that meant anything, as if a cracked door could hold back something as horrible as a reaver. She opened it further and slipped out the narrow opening. The door at the top of the stairs was still there. Another door. She opened it and blinked at the light that streamed into what had been a building. Nothing but rubble now and one lone wall of lumpy, handmade bricks. She blinked in the light in the sunshine and she whispered, "Praise be to Allah, for the sun still rises."